House when he said he had a new song for me that Nick and Carlene had written. It took a long time to get it, but when I finally got it, I realized it was for me, all right. But the kind of theme of the album is sin and redemption, and thank God for redemption, or I wouldn't be here, which is the title of the last song I wrote for the album. Sorry. From his hands it came down, from his side it came down, from his feet it came down and ran to the ground. Between heaven and hell a teardrop fell in the deep crimson dew, the tree of life grew. And the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was the price that set the captives free. And the numbers that came through the fire and the flood clung to the tree and were redeemed by the blood. From the tree streamed the light that started the fight. Round the tree grew a vine on whose fruit I could dine. My old friend Lucifer came, fought to keep me in chains, but I saw through the tricks of 666. And the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was the price that set the captives free. And the numbers that came through the fire and the flood clung to the tree and were redeemed by the blood. From his hands it came down, from his side it came down, from his feet it came down and ran to the ground. Then a small inner voice said, you do have a choice. The vine engrafted me and I clung to the tree. And the blood gave life to the branches of the tree, and the blood was the price that set the captives free. And the numbers that came through the fire and the flood, I clung to the tree and was redeemed by the blood.
Good evening, welcome everyone to St. Thomas's and welcome to the Corstorphine Churches Together Good Friday service. Today, along with Maundy Thursday and Easter Eve, which comes tomorrow, have been regarded by Christians as the three most solemn days of the year. More than that, these 3 days are the hinge on which the whole meaning of life and the purpose of the universe turns. It is Good Friday, a strange name for the day. It may come from a contraction of God's Friday, God's special day, which he had planned from the beginning as the only way to heal and mend the mess we have made of the world. All time is here. All people are here. All places meet at this moment. Our service will be in 4 sections tonight. We're going to walk with Jesus to the cross and listen to the story as it is told in Luke's gospel and try and step into that story ourselves. At each stage of the journey, there will be a reading, a symbolic action, a thought, and a song to help us. This is the day that sin was defeated, the day that death died, the day where one died so that all might live in reconciliation with God, our loving Father. So here is a special prayer for Good Friday, which is going to come up on the screen. But let's stand together, and we're going to say the words of this special prayer for Good Friday together. Let us pray. Almighty Father, look with mercy on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and given up into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who is alive and glorified now with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues by singing the song that captures this amazing story of God's love. My song is Love Unknown.
In death Last Supper, from Luke 22, verses 7 to 38. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied.
So it was Thursday night for Jesus and the 12 disciples. It was the Passover meal, a special meal which reminded God's people how God himself had led them out of slavery through the water to freedom. It's an upstairs room around a table, a low table, much lower than this table, candle lit. The guests reclining on couches. They'd celebrated a meal like this many times. They'd done it twice, at least twice, with Jesus himself. But tonight in Jerusalem, this year, this week, it was different. Here is the table all set. Lamb, bitter herbs, salt water, special bread. We listened to the story again. Death passed over them because of the blood on the doorposts all those years ago. Death would pass over them again because of Jesus' death on a wooden post. Jesus is broken like the bread, so that in the end, death will not be able to break us. He must die so we can live. So they shared the bread, and we're going to share some bread now. Let us share some food together to show that we want to belong to Jesus through his cross today. So we have some wonderful grapes. I will not tell you from whence they come. And we have some kosher matzo for us to share. But you have to do something. I'm not bringing it to you. No one's going to bring it to you. You have to come and get it. So the invitation is here. Let us share some bread, some matzo together. Let us share some fruit together. Please do come and help yourself. So let's remain seated as we sing the next song.
Broken for you. prays at the Mount of Olives. Luke 22:39-46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours, done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed for more earnestly, and his sweat drop was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
Jesus arrested. Luke 22:47-53. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns."
So it was midnight in a garden of olive trees for Jesus and the 12, or rather Jesus and the 11, as it was then. This was a favorite place, a place for rest, for getting away from the crowd, for prayer, a place of olive trees on a hillside in a secluded garden. They were tired. We listened to what happened as they came to that garden. In the shadow of the trees, Jesus knelt in the shadow of death, and he accepted it. It was going to hurt, but it was to show us that death is only a shadow. A shadow is as dark as the bright light that is blocked by whatever gets in its way. Jesus was going to show us that there is a bright light beyond the shadow of death. To get there, he must go through the darkness for us and to show us the way. He said yes to death so that it could have no power over him. He said, "I will," to death so that it can no longer call the tune. He said, "Your will be done," so that he might deliver us from the fear of sin and death. We stand together to sing one verse and the chorus of "This Is Our God, the Servant King." Let us stand.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our
Garden of Gethsemane was the place where olives grew, but olives would also have been crushed there. So if you still have your olive, please put it in the palm of your hand. So please take your take an olive and take it in the palm of your hand and hold on to it just for a moment. In the garden, olives would have been crushed. And as you take your olive, if you get an olive in your hand, I want you to consider doing one of two things. You can either eat it, or you can crush it in the palm of your hand. Just crush it as hard as you can. And as we do that, we remind ourselves that Jesus was crushed for us, so that sin would be swallowed up in his death. Death would be swallowed up in his death. And our sin was taken upon him on our behalf. As for his disciples, they ran away from the garden, breaking twigs in their hurry to disappear. We're going to listen to some more readings from the Gospel of Luke.
Luke 22, verses 54 to 62. Peter disowns Jesus. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated in there, in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
The guards mocked Jesus. Luke 23, verse 63 to 23, verse 25. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. Jesus before Pilate and Herod. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection of the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
So it was early morning, and Jesus had been awake all night, hustled from one torchlit room to another, tied up, bruised, bedraggled, beaten. And the high priest had looked for charges in order to get the death sentence passed, but all that had been heard was a confusion of lies. Brexit had nothing on what Jesus faced. Jesus is then taken to the Roman governor because only he could give permission for a crucifixion. We heard the story again. This was the place of judgment. Here Jesus was condemned. Here they made a pretend king out of the real king. Jesus took all the anger, all the accusations, all the curses, and the whole human race. All the things that the human race has ever heaped upon God, he accepted them. He agreed to be the solution to our problem, the sins, the mistakes, the mess of our world. He takes it all without appealing against the injustice. He takes it all without appealing for an army of angels. He takes it all without appealing for our pity. So let us, in a moment of silence, bring our own sin to God and the sin of the world as we watch the world being slowly destroyed by human greed, as we watch lives being destroyed by human selfishness, as we watch our own lives falling short of what God calls us to be. We bring all of this to the Lord who stood under the judgment of human beings. Let's be silent for a few moments. We're going to sing, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?"
You there when
Let's listen to some more of the events of those last few hours.
The crucifixion of Jesus. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was written a notice above him which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
The death of Jesus. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Jesus is whipped to within an inch of his life. He staggers with the crossbeam as far as he was able. Those of us who carried the cross along Glasgow Road know nothing really of the suffering he endured. He's nailed to the wood and hung up to die. We listened again to what happened to the Lord. But what is going on? This isn't the way heroes conquer their enemies. This looks like a defeat, not a victory. This looks like, to the world, losing, not winning. Or is it? Only by beating death and sin at their own game could Jesus win. Only by taking all that sin, all that death could throw at him, and not then becoming as bad as death himself, could Jesus overcome death. Only by absorbing sin's poison, death's destruction, could he create the antidote to sin and death that he could share with all of us. And of course, he did all this for all of us. And so tonight we will respond, maybe, again, having heard the story, again, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 50th time. But we come again and we come rejoicing and wondering afresh that God would so love the world, so love me, so love you, that he would give his only son for our sin, for the world's sin, for my sin. So let us do something symbolic to indicate our thankfulness that God loves us, that God loves this broken world. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to make a response. And again, you have to do something. We could bring this to you, but it's always better, I think, if we respond. So this is the baptismal font here. It's covered up. And we're going to use it to do something tonight. We have little post-it notes in the shape of a heart. And what I want to invite you to do is to come and get one of these and write your name on one of these hearts. And then we're going to attach it to this cross here, this rugged cross, this broken, wonky cross in the middle of the chancel here. So please, will you do that? Will you think about doing that?
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wondered how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful Savior's love for me. When with the ransoming glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
As God's people gathered in this place at this time tonight, let's stand together if we're able to do that. And let's stand together and pray for God's help and God's blessing as this weekend begins. Let us pray. Come to visit us, Lord, this night, so that by your strength on Sunday morning at daybreak, may we rise to rejoice in the resurrection of Christ your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, the God of our fathers. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. The Almighty and most merciful Lord, guard us and give us his blessing. Amen.
Amen.
We end with one final song. We're going to sing a great hymn of praise as we draw things to a close now. Do stay on if you're able to do that, and go through those doors there into the hall, and there will be refreshments available for everyone. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.